let's get started. And thank you everyone for coming to for this shiur. We're going to discuss the topic of Shemitah, which we are familiar with. We worked the land for 7 years, for 6 years, excuse me, and rest in the seventh year. And Hefker. Hefker is an institution in halacha of making property ownerless. It's normally a verbal declaration in front of others, where you relinquish your own ownership from an item, allowing others to take it. We're going to look at the halachas, and then we're going to transition smoothly into a message that comes out of that will affect us on a day-to-day basis. Okay, I'm going to share my screen with you so we can look at some of our makomos together. One moment. There we go. Okay, and if anyone has any issues with the screen share, any questions along the way, please feel free to let me know. We're going to get started. We are now in the upcoming parshas, Parshas Mishpatim, and the pasuk says in source number 1 here, Sheish Shanim Tizras Artzecha Vesatis Tvasa. You should work the land for 6 years, gathering all the harvest. And then the next pasuk, Yiralef Hashviyas Tishmetena Unitashta Va'achlu Evyonei Amecha. So the seventh year, you should make it shmit. You should abandon the land. Unitashta, you should abandon it. Va'achlu Evyonei Amecha. Then the poor people can eat from it. Ve'yisram Tohu Chayas Asadid, the leftover. Even the animals can eat. So should you do to your vineyard, to your olives. Fine. There is a mitzvah, which is in this pasuk here, that the fruits that grow in Shemitah, during the Shemitah year, you should abandon them. You should leave them for the poor, leave them even for the animals. You should not have any stake in them at all. If you look in source number 2, this is indeed pasuk like by the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, where he codifies all of the commandments that we have. And he says, "Va'mitzvah kuf lamedalit." This is source number 2 over here. He shetzivanu lahavkir. Bold that word for you because that's an important word. Kol mashet tatzniach haaretz bishnas hashmita, to make hefker, to make ownerless. Again, hefker means ownerless. That's an important word to know for the duration of this year. Hefker is to make something ownerless. So again, he shetzivanu, we are commanded lahavkir, to make ownerless. Kol mashet tatzniach haaretz bishnas hashmita, anything that grows during the shmita year. Vehefkir timchad maseinu kul mechaladam, to be mafkirit. Everything that grows on our land for every person. Again, l'chol adam is also an important phrase. I'm going to bold that for you, and we're going to get back to that as the shiur progresses. So we have a mitzvah here, the mitzvah of Shemitah. We are all perhaps familiar and probably all familiar with the concept of Shemitah, with working the land for 6 years, and not working on the seventh year. But we find here that aside from the mitzvah of working the land for 6 years and not working on the seventh year, there is a halacha, particularly pertaining to the fruits of Shemitah, that the fruits, all the vegetation that grows in that year, must be made hefker. The Rambam says must be made ownerless, and the purpose is that everyone else can take it, as the pasuk says, and I'm going to bold that those words also. Va'achlu evyonei amecha, said the poor, the destitute in your land, in your nation, can eat from it. So what we're going to discuss for the duration of this year and the time that we have together, that we are very lucky to have together, is this halacha, this making something hefker, making something ownerless, and by Shemitah in particular, and then we're going to branch out to in general. If you look in source number 3 is the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch raises a very interesting suffix, and this is something that really, these are the types of questions I like, the types of questions that get to the very simple definitions of a mitzvah. What is it that the mitzvah actually entails and requires of us? Those are the best questions sometimes, not the ones that are, convoluted, but the ones that are more straightforward. And so the Minchas Chinuch asks the question. He says, when the fruits of the Shemitah year become hefker, is that something that happens automatically? Is that something that, Hashem willed it, that the fruits of the Shemitah year should become hefker? Or is it something that people must do? People must make their fruits ownerless. Again, I should clarify that hefker as an institution in general, beyond the realm of Shemitah, to make something ownerless is a formal process. It has certain requirements. It must be done in front of 3 people. It must be done verbally, orally, not just in your mind. Many may remember last year, during the height of COVID, many people were making, like myself included, were making Pesach for the first time and had to buy a lot of new Pesach kelim that we never had before. And there was a lot of uncertainty as to whether the kelim mikvahs were a safe place to be. And we didn't know how to do it, if we could do it. And Rav Shechter Shlita Paskin, if you couldn't find a safe way to be tova your new kelim, you know, one fix was to make them hefker. And he discussed in those letters, how do you do that? You have to, you know, again, you have to get call other people, make sure, you know, put them out in a way that you make them ornaments. But hefker is, the concept of hefker is to process where I make my properties ownerless. And so the Minchas Chinuch has here this suffix. In other words, again, we see that by Shemitah, the fruits of the Shemitah year, we are required to make these, the fruits of the land, ownerless. And I'd like to read just a couple lines from the Minchas Chinuch inside with you. This Kol HaRishon opportunity. It's nice to get to read some of this stuff inside. In source number 3, the underline right over here, Vani Mesupak, the Minchas Chinuch says, I am in doubt. Iha mitzvah karkafta de gavra is the mitzvah incumbent on the person who derachmana tzivahu lahafkir peirosav. Again, this is lahafkir, the mitzvah by Shemitah is to make it hefkir. Is it that the Torah commanded me to be mafkir my peiros b'shvias during the Shemitah year? Mechuyah v'kayin. Lahafkir, you must proactively do it. Then mafkir is hafkir, and if you did it, is hafkir. Avam eino mafkir, eino mafkir. But let's say I did not do it, it would not be hafkir. Now I'm going to skip these next few lines, just you know, in the time being, I don't want to. We're not going to have a chance to read everything. Odilma, but the underline over here, Aleph Dalet's answer, Odilma, and perhaps, Hefker Zeh Ein Tzarcha Bayim Lahafkir. Maybe this Hefker does not require the owners to actually verbalize it, to actually go through this formal process. Rakhu Afka Asa Demalka. It's from Hashem, Melech is the king, from Hashem, Shumim Mela Hefker, it automatically becomes Hefker Rakim. So then it goes on, Rakim Na Al Karmo, if I would lock up my fences over Al Asezu, then I'd be in violation of this mitzvah, say, Barei Goz Al Rabin. The Minchas Chinuch gives a couple of interesting nafkaminas just to speak out together. The most simplest nafkamina is, let's say, I'm a farmer and I live in Eretz Yisrael, and it's the Shemitah year, by the way. I believe Shemitah is coming up next year, so it's already not too early to begin learning about it. But it's never too early to learn about Torah. So it's the Shemitah year, and I have the fruits of my land, and I did not make them hefker. Let's say I'm, God forbid, you know, or you have a katan, a minor, who doesn't have the ability to make something hefker, and he has an inheritance, he has land. So it's true that, again, let's say if I'm a farmer, I am obligated to make my food hefker. But let's say I didn't. Let's say I did not deem my payros ownerless. Let's say I decided I want to keep them, but I was negligent, I just forgot. Would a poor person be allowed to come and take those fruit? Would a poor person be allowed to come and take the fruit from my land? And so the Minchas Chinuch says, well, it depends on this very suffix, this very doubt that we raised, that we are raising right now. If the mitzvah is for me to make it hefker, for me to make it ownerless, so long as I did not do that, it's true that I've done an aveira, I've not done that which Hashem willed me to do, but no one can take it because it's still mine. However, if the halacha is that the fruits of Shemitah automatically become hefker, that they automatically become ownerless, then it doesn't matter whether I did this formal process or not. It's automatic. They become hefker. Now, if the Evyone Amecha that we saw in the first source, the poor people come and take it, they have all rights to take it, and it would be completely theirs. And so we have discussed so far, just very simply, again, there's a mitzvah during the Shemitah year, not just not to work the land, but there's a mitzvah to make the fruits hefker, to make the fruits ownerless. Again, hefker is ownerless. There's a mitzvah to make my fruits ownerless during the hefker year, during the Shemitah year, excuse me. And we had the subject of the Minchas Chinuch. Is that something that I must do proactively, or is that something that happens automatically? Now, regardless of whether this is a mitzvah, which is a proactive mitzvah I have to do, or whether it's a mitzvah, a hefker that sort of happens on its own, we do learn from Shemitah as a paradigm to the institution of hefker and kolatar akula. We learn from Shemitah, the Shemitah year, when we make the fruits ownerless, we learn from that halacha, that the Shemitah fruits are ownerless, we learned that as a paradigm to the institution of hefker in general. Let's continue and look in source number 4 together. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Peah. Let me just give a little introduction. There's an interesting question. Let's say, again, as I spoke out before, hefker is to make something ownerless so that others can acquire. We're going to pick up on that a little bit more as we go on. Let's say I would like to make something hefker. You know, I'm a righteous person. So I have extra, I have tons of extra boxes of pasta I stocked up and I'd like to give them away. So I say, I'd like to give it to the poor. I don't know any poor people maybe, or let's say, I don't know what I'll say. I put it on my front lawn and I say, this is hefker, this is ownerless, so that any poor people can take it. But I do not get permission for any rich people to take it. And let's say I have friends and I have enemies. So I say, I'd like this to be hefker so that any of my friends can come and take it. But my enemies, Reuven, let's say I don't like Reuven, anyone can take it except for Reuven. Or, you know, let's say I'd like to give it to my fellow Jews. But my non-Jewish neighbors, I don't want them to have this pasta. So do I have the right to do that? Let's look in source number 4. Let's see the answer to that question. This is a mishnah in the 6th parak of Maseches Peah. Okay, let's look in source number 4. Beis Shammai Omrim, Hefker, and Hefker is the Rishonim point out. It's really a lashon of Hefker. It's a similar lashon meaning to make ownerless. Beis Shammai Omrim, Hefker Lanim Hefker. If I'll make something Hefker, something ownerless. Again, ownerless meaning I relinquish my own ownership just for Anim, just for the poor Hefker. It's a good Hefker. Indeed, it works. Beis Hillel Omrim, Ain hefker, ain't no hefker. Actually, yufkar aflashim. So this is the Silo statement, which is very important. Ain no hefker, actually yufkar aflashim. He says kishmita. That's the big line for us. So Basil will say that if I make something hefker, and I only do it for the poor because I'm righteous, and I only want the poor to be able to get a chelek in that which I'm making ownerless, that which I no longer have interest in for myself, it does not work. It is not hefker, Beis Hillel say, until you make it hefker, until you make it ownerless, until you make it that anyone has the ability to have a zechus, and it has the ability to take it, even the wealthy. And he says, what is his paradigm? His paradigm is Shemitah. Just like the fruits of the Shemitah year, which must be made completely ownerless. They must be made for anyone to take it. You cannot choose with your Shemitah fruit who is going to take it by definition. What has to happen with the Shemitah fruit is that anyone in the world, anyone, even the animals can take it. And you can't choose who, yes or no. You can't put up a fence and you can't put up a sign. So too, Beis Hillel say, this institution of hefker in general, which again is an institution which exists in the halachic press in general. If I ever have something and I don't want it anymore, I have an old bicycle. So I put the old bicycle on my front lawn and I say, you know, nowadays I think that what we do very often is people put things for garbage collection. But sometimes when they put things for garbage collection, they aren't really intending to put it for garbage collection just yet. They're saying, you know, maybe someone will come and want my old bicycle, want my old, you know, my old television that I don't want because it takes up too much space. But maybe someone will find it. So if you would make it only partial, that only some people can take it, you'll put up a sign, you're only for some, not for others, that's not considered hefker. And we should point out that there are nafkaminas, there are practical ramifications whether something is hefker, whether something is not. If you can choose to say, you can always choose to say, you know, I get permission for some people to use my item and I don't get permission for other people to use my item. That's true. But hefker, is more than that. Hefker, there's a form of Judah hefker. There's a nafkamina, many nafkaminas. One straightforward nafkamina is, the halacha is that all the halachos of tzedakah that apply in Eretz Yisrael that are teluyas baretz, that are dependent on the mitzvah of the land, like trumos and maestros and all those mitzvos, don't apply to hefker. So if I would say, you know, any of my neighbors can come and take my stuff, I still have to separate, you know, the truma, maestro, stuff like that. But if it's hefker, if I say, you know, this is free-for-all perhaps a good word, that it would be pudra from that, it would not have to separate truma. We're going to go through, as we discuss very soon, in the hemshech, and the continuation of the shir, more nafkaminas, more practical ramifications of whether something is hefker or not. In the meantime, I'd like to just quote to you the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, the source for Beis Hillel is spelled out. We're going to read the underlined part here. This is the Yerushalmi goes through on Zram, the Mishnayos. We don't necessarily have Gemara Bavli for the Mishnayos and Seder Zeran, but we have the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi so too goes through the sources, the Psukim, where these halachos are learned. Look with me in the underline in source number 5. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, over here by the underline. Taimayu de Beisel, the reasoning for Beisilel is based on the Pasuk Tishmitena. The Pasuk says you have to make the fruit Shemitah. This is during the Shemitah year. We must make the fruit Shemitah. Ma tamalomer nitashta. Why does the Torah say this extra lashon that you must, this extra word, you must abandon it? Yesh lecha nitisha charishikizu. There is another type of abandoning of your properties like this. Ma zu bein lani and bein lashirim. Just like this, meaning Shemitah is universal. It's both to the poor and to the wealthy. Af mashenamer b'makom acher. So too that which is applies elsewhere, meaning of the regular institution of hefker, is bein lani and bein lashir must be when it's to the poor and to the wealthy. So to pause and just to give a chance to catch up, and I hope I wasn't going a little bit too fast here, but to slow it down and just make sure we're all on the same page. There is a mitzvah during the Shemitah year to take the fruits of the land and make them hefker, to make them ownerless. Hefker is an institution which applies beyond the Shemitah year. It applies in general. I can take any of my properties and declare them ownerless so that other people can come and other people can take them. We learn from Shemitah, this is what Beis Hillel just taught us in source number 4, as elaborated in the Yerushalmi in source number 5, that we learn from Shemitah that the way to be mafkir something, the way to deem something ownerless, must be in a free-for-all state. It must be universal. It must be bein la'aniyim, bein la'ashirim, both for the poor and for the wealthy, both for my friends and for my enemies, both for Jews and for non-Jews. In order to create this status of hefker, this status of ownerless, it cannot simply be that I choose who gets it. I must completely relinquish myself and say that this is a free-for-all. This is completely ownerless. It's like when you take something and put it on the curb for garbage collection, but you're also saying that anyone can take this. Anyone can take this old bicycle, anybody can take old bike. You don't put it out for garbage collection and say, this is only for my friends, not for my enemies. This is only for people who live on, 27th Street, not people who live on 28th Street. You don't have the ability to do that. If you're making it hefker, it must be entirely and completely hefker. If we would pause now, we would think that the reason for this is pretty straightforward. The reason for this is because what am I doing when I make something hefker? What am I doing with the Shemitah fruit? And what do I do whenever I make something hefker? Presumably, what I am doing is I am completely removing myself. I am making this ownerless. I am, by relinquishing, we're making ownerless. Now it's hefker, ownerless, right? And that's what gives everyone else the ability to come and be zochen. That's what gives everyone the ability to come and take it. And so long as I'm choosing who can get it, is it going to be Reuven, or is it going to be Shimon? Is it going to be my friends, or is it going to be my enemies? So long as I am choosing who gets it, I still have a stake in it. I still have interest in it. And that's not right. When you make something hefker to make it ownerless, presumably all you do is you completely relinquish your own stake entirely. And then Mamela, as a result of that, everyone can come and take it. That's why it must be universal. That's why, just like the Shemitah fruits, must be a free-for-all for any people, any animals to come and take, yourself included, by the way. You can take your own Shemitah fruits back as well. But just like the Shemitah fruits must be universal for everyone, so too, whenever you make something hefker, when you make something ownerless, for others to be zocheh, it must be universal. It must be for everyone. Now, the truth is that this is not so simple. I'd like to take a minute, look at another source, and we're going to see that even though the way you make something hefker is to make something ownerless, the goal of hefker is not just to remove yourself as an owner. The goal of hefker is a little bit more than that. I may as well say it now. The goal of hefker is to remove yourself as an owner for the purposes of allowing others to take it. Now let's continue to source number 6, and then we're going to elaborate on this a little bit more. And if there are any questions, please feel free to speak up. And I can't necessarily see everyone's face at the same time. Thank God we have a lot of people on. If you have a question, feel free to speak up. Okay, we'll continue here. Source number 6, the Gemara Nedarim. Nedarim, as we know, there is an institution in Halacha, another institution in Halacha, where you can take a vow, a neder, and make and prohibit your items to other stuff. Let's say you have an enemy. Again, I don't want people to think over here that, you know, I have enemies or I'm interested in people having enemies. But unfortunately, it could happen. I have an enemy and I don't want him to get hana from me. But let's say I have a friend and I want him to work hard. I don't want him to, you know, keep on piggybacking off of my hard work. So I say, you are hereby prohibited from my properties. That's what the source, the Gemara here discussed in source number 6, the Mishnah. Hamudr hanami chaveiro, if someone takes a neder that his friend should not going to benefit from him, the Mishnah starts, lo yashilenu, lo yishal mimenu, you can't lend any objects to or from him, lo yalvenu, you can't lend him money, you can't sell him stuff. And then the Mishnah continues over here, right by this bold where we're starting now. Let's say these two people were walking together. This poor guy doesn't have anything to eat. So again, let's say I am walking with my friend Reuven. I walk with Reuven and I made a neder that Reuven cannot benefit from me whatsoever. And now Reuven has no food to eat and I'd like to help him out. But what can I do? I took a neder. I took a vow prohibiting him to my stuff, to my properties. So what do we do from over here? No saying la'echad l'shematan of halamutr, but I can give it to a third party. Once I give the items to a third party, it's no longer mine. It now belongs to a third party. And Reuven can benefit from the third party, no problem. Oh. The Mishnah continues. Let's say there is no third party to give it to. And Reuven is starving. And I'd like to help him out, but what can I do? I took a vow that Reuven cannot get benefit from my fruits. And there's no third party to give it to. What do we do? Maniach ala sela, I put it down on the stone. Oh, I'll get her an offense. Omer, harehi mufkarin lachol misha yachbut. So again, the same lashon of hefker over here. I say this item, this loaf of bread, let's say, should be made hefker for anyone who wants it. V'hala nota v'ochel. And then the other guy, Reuven, who I took another from, can take it. Why? Because again, once I make this item hefker, once I put it out on the curb and make it ownerless, it's no longer mine. And now Reuven can indeed benefit from it. So he will take it from hefker. Very straightforward. Very straightforward. But then we have a very important line in this Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Oser. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't work. It's prohibited. Why? Let's see the Gemara right away. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rabbi Yossi. What's the reason for Rabbi Yossi's opinion? Why is it usher? The Gemara is bothered. If it's true that when I make something hefker, I make it ownerless. And the reason why everyone in the world can take it is because it's ownerless. Why is it a problem for Reuven to take it? Reuven is not taking it from me. Reuven is taking it from this twilight zone, from this free-for-all status of hefker. And so the Gemara says, Kasavar hefker kematana. Rabbi Yossi holds that hefker is like a matana, like a gift. Interesting. Hefker is like a matana. I never thought of hefker that way. Hefker is like a gift. Let's continue reading. Ma matana ada'asi mershus nosi mershus mekabel. Just like a matana, a gift, goes directly from the rishus of the nosing of the giver to the rishus of the mekabel of the recipient. Af hefker, so to hefker, ada'asi mershus zoche. Hefker, until it reaches the jurisdiction, the property of the recipient, until Reuven picks it up, it's mine. And therefore, for this narrow halacha of nedarim, of the vows, it's considered to go straight from me to him, even if I make it hefker. It doesn't enter for Rabbi Yossi, this property, this loaf of bread, let's say, does not enter this quasi-status, this twilight zone, if you will, of ownerless. For Rabbi Yossi, when I make something hefker, it is true. Rabbi Yossi agrees that when I make something hefker, this is important to know. Rabbi Yossi agrees that when I make something hefker, when I make something ownerless, what I am doing is I am making it for the whole world. And as Beis Hillel taught us earlier, Bein La'ani and Bein La'ashir, both for the poor and for the wealthy, for my friends and for my enemies, for Jews and for non-Jews. I am making it for everyone. And I cannot choose who gets it. For Rabbi Yossi holds, until it enters the recipient's property, until the guy picks up the bicycle from garbage collection where I left it outside of there, until he, or from my front lawn, until he takes it, it is still mine. So there is a machlokas here. And I'd like to give a nafkamina, a practical ramification, that's very important. We know that when we have chametz on Pesach, there's an isser not to own chametz on Pesach. Pesach is less than 2 months away. It's hard to believe. there's us or prohibition to own chametz on Pesach, and we do something before Pesach, we do bittel chametz. Besides for bedika and beer chametz, besides for destroying our chametz, we do bittel, a nullification of our chametz. And some Yishonim indeed understand that what am I doing when I mevatel my chametz? I make my chametz hefker. I make my chametz ownerless. And because since the Isser is to own chametz on Pesach, if I make it ownerless before Pesach, I've solved the problem. Because now when Pesach comes, it's not mine. So just to point out, and this is what actually some of the Mefarshim, some of the commentaries ask on this opinion, that's the opinion of Tosfos, that bittel chametz is hefker. When I say kol chamira, in the end we conclude hefker ka'afridari. There's a discussion whether you're supposed to say that word hefker. But you make it hefker, you make your chametz hefker. And so some of the Rishonim ask on Tosfos that that's fine and dandy according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, that hefker chametz and hefker properties enter this twilight zone. That when they're in this free-for-all status, they're actually ownerless and you have indeed relinquished your ownership. But according to Rabbi Yossi, you are still considered the owner until someone else picks it up. So how could this work according to Rabbi Yossi? We're not going to discuss right now the answer for Tosos, but at the very least Tosos say for the Rabbanon. But we see from Rabbi Yossi, again, just this was, I brought this nafka mina just to highlight what Rabbi Yossi holds. Rabbi Yossi holds that when the items, when I put the stuff on my front lawn and say in front of three people, these items are hereby hefker. They are hereby for anyone to have for the taking. Until someone takes them, they still belong to me. And so for chametz on Pesach, let's say, I would be in trouble. But I'd like to point out now a very important yesod from Rabbi Yossi's opinion, and it's a yesod that the chum do not argue on. Now, when I make something hefker, when I make something ownerless, it's not just to make it garbage. Again, I spoke before about, again, this is something maybe practical will do, you know, putting something outside the front, the curb for garbage collection. And you know that other people are going to come and take it. But that's not really hefker. Because there, when you put something in for garbage, it's garbage. You don't want it anymore. Hefker is not garbage. Hefker is when I put some, when I make something ownerless or I relinquish my ownership. Again, it's a, the we stress on machlokes in the darm, how ownerless it, how removed I become. But the purpose is so that others can take it. As we said, I'm going to scroll right back up here to the pasuk by Shemitah. Unitashta, as the Rishonim learned and Chazal learned, you make the fruits hefker. Why? As I bolded before, the achlu of yonei amechas, that the poor people can eat. Hefker is not an institution of making something ownerless just to put it out for garbage. Hefker is to make something ownerless so that others can be zochen it, so that others can merit it. The achlo of yonei amecha, just like by Shemitah. You know, I'll just give an example. Here in the yeshiva, I'm still privileged to be here in the yeshiva every day in YU. We have a nice thing. It's, you know, a sort of a chesed for all of us guys in the yeshiva for each other. It's called the hefker table. Outside the sinks, outside the base medrash, we have a little area. And again, this is something that's really much more practical during non-COVID times. We should all be zocha very soon. But it's a place where if people put, you know, let's say there was a sheer lunch and they had extra pizza, they'll bring the pizza downstairs and put it on the hefker table. This pizza is now ownerless and everyone can come and take it. Or if I have an old safe or an old book that I'm not using anymore, and maybe someone else can get benefit from it, I'll put it on the hefker table and other people can come and take it. It's a very nice thing. I think other yeshivas have this as well. Sometimes what people do, and this is what you should not do in the hefker table, is, you know, they have a half-eaten bagel, they're half-eaten lunch, and they say, you know, listen, I don't have the heart to throw out, you know, my mother always taught me, how could I throw out extra food? You know, don't let food go to waste. So they take their half-eaten bagel and put it on the hefker table. Now, that's not really nice, because, again, this is really the yesod, the fundamental that I'm trying to bring out this year. Hefker is not a place to put your garbage. The hefker table, that little counter outside the YU base medrash, is not a place to put your garbage. It's a place to put things that you no longer need so that other people can use them. Just like by Shemitah, when you have the Shemitah fruits, and the halacha is that we take the Shemitah fruits and make them hefker. And we discussed before the Sadik of the Minchas Chinuch, whether those fruits automatically become hefker or whether that requires your personal involvement to make them hefker. to make them ownerless. This institution of hefker, just like by Shemita, is not just to take your fruits and throw them in the garbage. It's not just to say, they're a free-for-all, I don't care, whatever will be. The purpose is to put them in hefker so that other people can be zocha in them, so other people can take them. And so too by the garbage collection, for example. When you put the bike there, in other words, you can really have two intentions. Sometimes people put an old bike because it's garbage. It's missing a wheel. By them, it's garbage. If someone wants to come and take it, fine, but garbage, right? Completely garbage. But sometimes when you put something old out in the garbage collection, you don't really think it's garbage. You just think you have no use for it. You're not interested in selling it on eBay or Amazon. So what do? You already asked your children, your grandchildren, no one wants it. Your neighbor doesn't want it. So you put it out. Maybe someone else wants it. That's what hefker is. Hefker is not to make something ownerless like it's garbage. Hefker is to make something ownerless so that other people can merit it, so that other people can take it. It's purposeful. It's a gift to others. Oh, now that we've unveiled this yesodostik fundamental understanding of what hefker is and what shmita is, I'd like to give a great nafkamin of this. And this nafkamin is found in the Rabbeinu David in Maseches Pesachim. This year, the yeshiva is learning Maseches Pesachim. Whenever I have an opportunity to give a shiur, I like, if possible, of course, to make it relevant. This is relevant to the Parsha Shavuah, upcoming Parshas Mishpatim. And we'll see momentarily how this is relevant to the time of year we are in as well. But I also like to make it relevant to the topics we're learning in yeshiva for two reasons. One is because those are the topics I'm spending most of my day learning and teaching, and they have most interest, I'm most involved in them. And two is because I like to connect the greater tzibur, the greater community, to the yeshiva learning. I think it's a nice thing. And so this is found in Rabbeinu David in source number 7. We discussed before the opinion of the Tosfos that bitul chametz, when I say kol chamira, when I nullify my chametz before Pesach, that's making it hefker. And we pointed out that there are dissenting opinions. Not all opinions hold that bitul chametz is to make it hefker, to make it ownerless. What do they hold? They hold that bitul is to nullify, to make it like dirt, to make it like garbage. And says the Rabbeinu David, a great nafkamina, we'll read it together. This bitul, this nullification of chametz, eino inyan hefker. This is not the same as hefker. Shehefker who? And this is a very important line. This really sums up what we've been saying till now. I'm going to bold that because that's important. Hefker is who shemisalik. You remove yourself. You remove your ownership. Why? So that other people can get it. So that other people can take it. Other people can merit it. V'habitul, what is bitul, says Rabbeinu David, hu shemisaleg daito mimenu, sheka offer. That's just, you make it like the dust. It's true that the dust in the ground, even in your house, you couldn't care less about. If someone else would come and take it, it wouldn't be stealing. But the reason why people can come and take the dust of your house, not because you made it hefker, but because it's garbage. It's useless, it's pointless. So who cares if you take my garbage? But that's not what hefker is. Hefker is to make it for other people, purposefully. Right, bitul is, he says, to make it like the dirt. Lo ledashi yisku b'achem. He gives a great afkamino. Afichach mutter levatel b'shabbes v'yamtiv. Says Rabbeinu David, and this is, he's echoing his Rebbe, the Ramban. It is mutter to do bitul on Shabbos and Yamtov. Kemosha amru b'gemar, just as the Gemara says. So Rabbeinu David says bitul, making something garbage, is not a transaction of any kind. There's no problem with doing that on Shabbos and Yamtov. Hefker, however, says Rabbeinu David, if it was hefker, you cannot do it. He says, again, I'm skipping now, I'm gonna bold this. It is prohibited for a person to make things hefker on Shabbos. And why is that? I'll tell you now. As we know, on Shabbos, we do not do business, we cannot do any transactions. We can't even give gifts if they're not for the purpose of Shabbos. And what's the reason for that? Because that's all business, and business is usher for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is because of Gzeir Shem Yichtov, you might come to write. And so Rabbeinu David says, hefker is like a business transaction. Hefker, again, I can't say, hefker is like a business transaction because, excuse me, Rabbeinu David says, hefker is not simply to make something ownerless, to relinquish my ownership so that it could be like garbage. Hefker is purposeful. It's to relinquish my ownership so that others can merit in it, so that others can get it. It's with a goal of the recipient in mind. And because hefker has the goal of the recipient in mind, hefker is indeed prohibited on Shabbos, because hefker is like a matana, like a business transaction. It's true that this transaction is a little bit different. Again, to summarize, to bring us back here where we are, hefker is to make something ownerless. Hefker is to relinquish my ownership, and thereby anyone can take it. And we saw, you know what, as a matter of fact, I'm going to stop the screen share now because we're not going to do the source inside anymore. And I'm just going to continue saying this to everyone here outside. Hefker is to make something ownerless. Hefker is to relinquish my ownership so that others can take it. But when I relinquish my ownership, it's not just, you know, to make it like the dust of the ground, like garbage. When I put it out for garbage collection, it's not like that broken bike that's missing two wheels and a handlebar, and I put it out there because it's garbage. Hefker is purposeful. Hefker is to make it, Hefker is to make it ownerless so that anyone can take it. It's purposeful. Just like by Shemitah, the reason why I make it ownerless is so that anyone in the world can be zocheh in it, so that it's for the purpose of giving it to others. So too, whenever I make something hefker, it's for the purpose of giving to others. It has to be universal. It must be bein la'aniyim and bein la'ashirim. But because that is the purpose of the hefker, it is a transaction and it's asur on Shabbos. Now, the purpose of Shemitah, the goal of Shemitah, there are many, the Mefarshim speak out different goals of the mitzvah of Shemitah. Shemitah is a form of tzedakah. As we read in the Pasuk before, the Pasuk says, V'achlu evyonei amechas, that the poor and the destitute can eat. Shemitah is, as we know, just similar to Shabbos. We work for 6 days, rest in the seventh. We work for 6 years, rest in the seventh. And it's to show our bitachon in Hashem. And it's to show that we know that even though we work the land, ultimately our parnasa, our livelihood comes from Hashem. And so we have no problem not working the seventh year, but it's more than that. We make the fruits hefker, and as the pasuk says, we make them hefker to give it to aniyim. Because one of the goals of tzedakah in general is to say the money given to us from Hashem is not mine. The money given to us is from Hashem, and we're meant to do mitzvahs that, and therefore we must help the poor. But really, it's more than that. I'd like to speak to you a fundamental now, what we learned from Shemitah. And this I saw in the Sefer Shari Aaron, from quote from one of the Rishonim, a beautiful explanation. This tzedakah, the mitzvah of Shemitah, is different than all other tzedakahs. What makes it so special? Normally, when we give tzedakah, what do? We say, you know, hey, I'm privileged, or I worked hard for my money, or I was privileged to get a college education, I was able to become, you know, whatever, doctor, lawyer, whatever I became, and I have money, and there are poor people who don't have money, who are maybe lesser than me. I'll give them my money. I have money, I will give it to them. And that's very often what tzedakah is. So quotes out the Shari Aaron from the Ra'avam, that the mitzvah of Shemitah is different. Here, the purpose of Shemitah also is v'achlu evyonei amecha, to give it to the poor and the destitute. But what? How do we do that? We make it hefker. We make it ownerless. We make it that anyone in the world can come and take from these fruits, and even the owner himself. What are we doing? We're saying we are all equals. When we make something Shemitah, when we make the Shemitah fruits hefker, we are saying that, as Beis Hillel taught us before, it must be ownerless, it must be universal. Bein l'aniyim, bein l'ashirim, the rich and the poor, we're all equal. So the reason why Shemitah is such a great form of tzedakah is because it's not just saying, I'm greater than you, here's the tzedakah for you. But it's saying that we are all equal. And this is beneficial on two counts. First of all, simply put, as we can imagine, this is beneficial for the ani, for the poor people. When those poor people see, hey, I don't have to feel bad about it. It's not like, you know, he's giving it to me. I'm the wealthy person, you know, I'm the poor person. He's the wealthy person. He's giving to me. Ayve, how sad that is. But we're all equal. The ani doesn't feel as sad. The ani does not feel as sad. But you know, this is not just about the ani. This is not just about the poor person. This is about all of us. Again, of course, we should all be zoch always to be on the giving side, not on the receiving side. But this is about us, God willing, as givers of tzedakah. Because as we said, pointed out before, when we give tzedakah, we recognize our bitachon Hashem, that Hashem is the one that gave us the money. And we recognize when we give tzedakah in the form of shmita and hefker, what we recognize is that the aniyim are just as entitled to this money as I am, because it's Hashem's money. And if Hashem wants me to give tzedakah with this money, and Hashem, for whatever reason, made me lucky that I got a college education, I got a good job, or I did very well in business, or poor, some people are not as lucky, who weren't as wise to get health insurance, life insurance, whatever it is, they need money. Again, I'm not talking about whether they made a mistake or not, but lemaisa, practically speaking, we have a mitzvah of tzedakah. We must think that we are all equals. Again, there are halachas. I'm not telling you that you must give the ani, the tzedakah, the same degree that you keep the money for yourself. There are halachas about how much to give. But the mindset is that we are all equals. This is Hashem's money, and I'm just as entitled to it as you. That is the lesson of Shemitah, and that is the lesson of Hefker. Rabosai, we are entering a time of year which is going to be a big time of giving tzedakah. Parsha Shkalim is right here, right around the corner, and that is, of course, one of the first fundraisers in Klal Yisrael. We have upcoming the mitzvah of the holiday of Purim. We have Matanos Lavyonim, and giving money to the poor is a central part of the day. And we have coming up after that the Chodesh of Nisan and Pesach, where, as we know, it's codified in Shulchan Aruch, there's a mitzvah to give Moos Chitim, to give money to the poor for their Pesach needs. We're entering a time of year in Klal Yisrael where we give tzedakah, and the type of tzedakah in particular, to the poor and the needy. We should take the lesson of Shemitah. We should take the lesson of Hefker, as we learn, that when we give tzedakah, we should not think to ourselves, I'm the giver and he's the recipient. We should make it as though it's like a free-for-all. We should think to ourselves that we are all equals, because ultimately this is Hashem's money. This is the money Hashem gave us. And therefore, we are all equals to the money. And if Hashem wants me to give it to the poor, then the poor are equally as entitled as I. This will change our mindset of giving tzedakah. It's not that I'm giving him, it's that we are all equals. If we do this, hopefully we will take the lesson of Shemitah and of Hefker. This will transform our giving of tzedakah during this time period. And for the rest of our lives, we should have a bracha. We should always be on the giving end, never on the receiving end. And we should fulfill the mandate of Shemitah and of Hefker and give the tzedakah, realizing that we're all equals. And that way we'll be giving in a more ideal way, both for ourselves and for the ani. Thank you very much to everyone. And I hope everyone has a wonderful day and a wonderful